Chapter 6, Satire versus Reality. Not only is satire nipping at the heels of reality, but occasionally overtakes it. Paul Krasner. Cunts we were called and cunts we would be. Simone de Beauvoir said when women start acting like people, they're accused of trying to be men. We were way past that. We were unbridled matriarchs running amok with knives, castrating bitches, witches, whores. The name-calling continued. The best one? Wacko. That one lets you discount everything a woman says if she has passion in her voice. It's textbook. And the manly thing to do is take the lady by the hand and lead her to a quiet room where she can stare at the wallpaper until she regains her balance. But whatever you do, don't encourage her by listening to her nonsense. Let her know that her words are being measured and recorded, and that each one will be torn from her lips as soon as she utters it. Let her know that the more she fights, the harder it's gonna be on her. And if she's pregnant, threaten her child. So about those 10 unrecorded songs, the 10 songs about indelible women whose portraits remain suspended in Michelle's loft. You want to hear them? You gotta join the fight. Michelle explained it this way. If there's one thing to be gleaned from all this, it's this. I got some song babies to deliver, and this world's no place for them, and I've got to change this world before I can give birth. Theft equals censorship. Think about it. When 4 men give themselves permission to mount daily social media assaults in the name of free speech, 2 little words like, let's talk, become insidious insults to the very definition of a free press. When the obsession continues for over a year, you have to wonder what the reward is. Content theft and spin are not victimless crimes. When a woman's words are stolen, twisted, and compromised content broadcast for purposes of propping up one's career or making money, and when she is then ironically silenced, we have to ask why. At this point, over a year after the original incident, the same journalist is still actively interfering with public communication between Michelle and anyone who wants to hear her side, all the while without a single direct interview. See it for yourself. Get on Twitter. Find out what happens when you mention Michelle's name. It's censorship, plain and simple. Ever had someone put their hand over your mouth so that you couldn't talk? Think of that feeling. It's a form of assault, and more often than not, it's directed at women, or gays, or minorities, or children. People who can't fight back. And it works just fine to silence them. Until they pick the wrong victim. Here's the problem. We hate art. We fear its power. We want to control it. Hell, my own country bombed the shit out of the cradle of civilization not all that long ago. And yet, we love beauty and would have it all around us. We take pictures of art and believe we have experienced it. We record music without hearing the tune. Our reaction to unspeakable beauty and inconceivable tragedy is the same. We reach for our phones. We record it all in binary code because we want to share and we want to make it real. This is the new reality. We remember it that way. Everything has become a backdrop. Every emotion must be heightened with background music. Every experience is now reduced to digital ruins, whether it's Bob Ross's Happy Little Trees or a woman in Mogadishu cradling her dead child. The sin is waiting for the next sensation. Paul Krasner joined Michelle and Daniel Fleeces for a reprise at KBOO on July 8, 2013, and was inspired to tell a story about a 1952 film, Seven Deadly Sins, which led viewers through the traditional seven sins, wrath, greed, pride, lust, sloth, envy, and gluttony, then lured them into asking for number eight. Instead of another sin, they received a simple admonition. The eighth sin was the desire to see sin. If you're old enough or cool enough, you might remember Krasner from his disequilibrium-inducing visual, Fuck Communism, an intentionally jarring pair of words designed to create enough disruption to make people think. Paul Krasner, the 82-year-old Mary prankster, venerated Yippie OG and famed disruptor himself, got it. The voyeurs were just a target of their own entertainment. Sometimes, he explained, the ultimate target of satire should be its own audience. Michelle Schock tweets to Free State, Kansas. Ready to sing a song of synonyms? Ruse, trick, subterfuge, wile, con, scam, deception, ploy, stunt, dodge, hoax. You mean you were just messing with them? And they fell for it? And they still believe it? All lies in jest. Still a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. Lie, 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 lie. Paul Simon. I think some people didn't get the joke. I think it might have hurt their feelings a bit. Some people didn't get the joke because it was a very serious point I was making at their expense. Why not just get to the point? Michelle says, because if I had just told them that they were fascists, they would have never believed me. Strong words from a strong-willed woman. You may not approve of her methods, but you have to admire her chutzpah. The cost of all this phobia? The right to make creative mistakes, big ones. The right to release your art projects into a world that will respect and protect them. A world that will not sell them downriver like branded plantation slaves. The right to argue with your lover in a hotel room or an elevator or your car without being recorded. The right to stop self-censoring in private. The right to be vulnerable. Face it, we're all little tattletales now. It's all good if we're exposing Rodney King being beaten by cops. Not so good when we want the scene to be played 1,000 times over until everyone's ready to riot. Not so good when we attend the circus but forget to ask for the bread. Here's the future. Anonymous recorders versus the unlimited failures of human nature. Every night at 10, every morning at 9, every week on Huffington Post, everyone gets to be a citizen journalist, but no one has to ask to take your picture anymore. Google Glass makes us all spies. Foucault had a word for this ultimate power mechanism, the panopticon. Perfect for prisons, perfect for society. Combine that with a few robotic drones and the ability to map and GPS every soul on the planet, and you have a dystopia that should scare the socks right off your happy little feet. It's not technology. It's not even a government conspiracy. It's us. It's how we tick. In a terrain such as this, small battles matter. Minor brush fires become major firestorms in minutes. Everyone has access to the web, and the power to strike sparks is in your hands. You have both the right and the responsibility to ask questions about what you are being fed. You decide to post or not to post. A modest solution. This isn't a story about Michelle Schacht. This is a story about you. What would you do if the media monster stole a glance in your direction? Sometime in December 2013, I was sitting in an orientation meeting with Michelle and a few others at the Hub LA. The facilitator asked us to tell why we were there and what kind of pie we liked. While I was still oscillating between rhubarb and cherry, Michelle leaned back in her chair, stretched out a long, lanky right arm, made a solid fist, and responded with a big grin. Occupy! What else? Truth versus reality started a conversation that Michelle has been dying to have, a conversation that is clearly so radical that it triggered vast networks that are already in place, networks that you should be aware of because they contain and produce the thought leaders of today, maybe even the thought police. From pseudo-gay rights activists to fake musicians looking for a retweet, from Twitter accounts that serve as nests for eggs that will grow up to purvey porn or meth, to bloggerazzi hounds that yap and yap until they create a story from fake indignation, these networks farm your likes and follow you home at night. They know your buying patterns, your GPS location, how you will vote in the next election, and your favorite brand of antacid. They will serve you a tasty meal that guarantees indigestion, and then they will sell you the product you need to make yourself feel better. What's an artist to do then? Can we work the system in our favor, or do we need a workaround? Are we freeloaders or free thinkers? Will Michelle ever be able to safely release those 10 songs? Or will she keep rattling cages just to show you the creative cost? Not long after the Yoshi show, she tweeted, "Sigh, I'm still waiting for the day when I can truthfully say words fail me. They've never failed me yet." A listener responded, "Lucky you, I'm often left speechless and or tongue-tied." Michelle explained, "It's a burden. Sometimes the hearer of my words wish I was thus afflicted. Offense happens. I'm still talking." Yeah, she's still talking. And like her heroes, she continues to be an equal opportunity offender. Irreverence, Krasner said, is our only sacred cow. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I asked Michelle once what she would clarify if she had the chance. She just said, "Suckers." Bullseye. Sometimes the ultimate target of satire should be its own audience. I know one thing for sure. If George Carlin were alive, he would be dragging skeleton after skeleton out of our collective closets and horrifying us all with images of ourselves. And Krasner's still trying to figure out how to give those skeletons a hard-on. And you can bet that Abby Hoffman and Lenny Bruce's Twitter accounts would be dead and gone, suspended in animation for inappropriate content. That's what it's all about, content. 253 channels and nothing on TV. Why? Because your appetite for free music, free comedy, free artwork, your hunger for quantity over quality, your fear that someone might say something so fucking radical that you have to put your fingers in your ears, or worse, piss off a sponsor, or increase your chance of being groped by the TSA. Because your blind participation in the machine is starving the poets. And when that happens, you might as well strike a match to your own incendiary ideas. You can't just change the channel, America. Ginsburg already asked you, when will you take off your clothes? When will your fake indignation be replaced by real questions? When will you realize that the Hearst legacy lives and breathes in every corner of your news feed? When will you appreciate this prayer? Lord, please save me from prissy scolds who never speak the truth because an audience's point of view is always their number one consideration. Free State responds, audience equals consumer, which means artist equals product. But I'm thinking you might need a buyer beware warning label. To which Michelle Schock tweets in response, if 25 years of peripatetic unpredictability hasn't plastered a buyer beware label across my face, I don't know what does. I've drawn you a picture of a mighty nasty machine, but even Michelle, who can find a conspiracy in a cupcake, says this, I believe in the power of art. I believe in the power of poetry, all those things that allow us to speak in a kind of metacommunication sense. In Christian parlance, it's called speaking in the spirit. So here's my challenge to you. Remember Woody Guthrie's machine, the one that kills fascists? Think about the silently weeping guitar in your closet, or the unpainted urban canvas around the corner, the blank page that so intimidates an artist. Take it. It's yours. Don't be scared. Step right up to Abby Yo-Yo and play your piece. Find the sacred inside the profane. If there is a simple message in all of this, it's found in a few lines Michelle recorded. Art matters. Because freedom is priceless. We are the many who believe. These robber barons, these tech advertisers, who steal our work, are just copyright thieves. Oh. And just one more thing. Fuck communism.